Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/android. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android device, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 57, recorded on Monday, April 23rd, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And you know what? Before we intro our guest, this week we're going to court. We need a gavel. We're going to court.
Oh, wait. I had no idea we were going to court. Well, on the show?
Sort of going to court. That's whatever. We have some new gadgets to talk about, sort of, maybe. Uh-huh. And Ron's going to talk a little bit about Google TV.
Yeah, we got a little bit of an update that we're going to talk about. So, yeah.
All right. Now, we have an awesome guest. Yeah. Matt McCary, patent attorney, writer for The Verge. Hello.
Welcome back.
Hello. How are you?
You know why we have you on? Is because
the only time I'm wanted.
Are gonna
help.
Oh, no.
We have to have Matt on when there's not a case going on. Yeah.
That's so not fair. Yeah, Matt, you are welcome to come back on the show when we don't have any patents to talk about or anything. How's that?
All right, I will.
Okay, very cool. But you
I won't have anything to say, but.
Oh.
Now you tell.
Well, there's that. Okay, all right.
But thank you so much for being on the show because we need you. So let's go ahead and dive into our news.
All right. So, I guess basically we have Matt because we have this whole Oracle and Google trial happening right now. And if you haven't been following it, I mean, it basically started a week ago. Last Monday, actually, on our last show, Matt, you were kind enough to write us just a bunch of information to read on the show. And so we kind of, you know, talked about that a little bit. A lot's happened in the last week. There've actually been a lot of kind of key people tied to the case brought into court. And in fact, today, Andy Rubin at the very end of the court date today was kind of brought into the fold. So maybe it's best to just kind of start since we actually have you on the show this time and we don't, you know, do a horrible job butchering kind of the big picture here, kind of exactly why this is a big deal between Oracle and Google.
Wow.
Where to start?
Well, yeah, there's you know, the primary phases. You have the copyright phase, which is going on right now, and that's the one that started last week, and then the patent phase, which starts probably in a few days. Mm-hmm. But it's really about copyright infringement at this time, and the defenses against that. And it was, I watched the show, and you guys nailed the description, so I don't know how much I need to go into the detail, but okay. You know, it's about the it comes down to these groups of APIs that Android uses, and that's kind of what Sun held back, and that's what Oracle's saying they held back and have the copyrights on, and it's all about that, not about Java in general. So what's happened is they've gone to trial over those infringement issues on the copyright side last week, and it's going at a lightning pace because these federal cases, patent or copyright, can go for weeks on end. And this copyright phase is going to be done. I think Oracle is going to be done putting their case, their main case together, their last witnesses tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have Rubin on again tomorrow because he barely got any testimony in today. And then I think they're going to have Eric Schmidt tomorrow as well.
Well, a lot to follow up on there. Now, you made mention last week in the stuff that we kind of read on the show about this Tim Lindholm 2010 email where he basically stated the need to negotiate a license for Java, how that could be kind of a pivotal wrinkle in the case. Now, Lindholm took the stand, I believe it was last Friday. Yeah. Was this as pivotal, do you think, as you had expected before he took the stand? Did anything kind of come out of his appearance?
Actually, his appearance, no. his emails, and there's more than just that one email. We've come to find a bunch of them that are kind of between Andy Rubin and some other team members, including Lindholm. And his testimony, he basically kind of dismissed it all, as he wasn't really saying you had to have a license from Sun. He was just saying they needed to possibly work out a license in general. And I think Oracle was comfortable saying, okay, we'll let the jury figure out whether they believe you or not. Mm-hmm. And so they let him go without really, I don't think he was on it very long at all. But those emails keep coming up, and they've already been introduced today with Rubin. So with Andy Rubin's testimony, what they're trying to get at is the details of what they knew and what they had access to when they were developing the APIs, and kind of how they went into it, whether they went into it with some sort of knowledge that they needed a license and they weren't going to do it.
Right.
And then from there, you know, that's kind of the copyright, you know, 101 stuff is you have the copying, but you have to prove access to the actual material. And there's been testimony about whether or not there was a clean room put in place at Google, and it's pretty clear there wasn't. There's actually an email came in today. I don't think they've gotten into it very much, but there's an email from Rubin to Tim Lindholm, I think, that says, you know, basically, I don't think the clean room idea is going to work here. We have too many past employees from Sun. There's really no way to use that as leverage or even for it to have any effect at all. So I think that's pretty clear that wasn't the case. Now, all of this looks really bad right now for Google.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. But, like, how are things looking for Google?
We're looking at Oracle's case right now. This is Oracle's case in chief. This is how when they present all their infringement evidence. They have the burden, and they have a lot of stuff to prove up. And also, they have to go through all the details and the nuances and the pain of explaining to a jury all of this API, all the nuances of that. And it's not something that's easily understood by really many people at all, let alone, you know, a jury of people that don't have any tech background. So they're really trying to paint a picture right now. The best part of their case is kind of this idea that trying to paint Google as a bad actor that went into this knowing, you know, eyes wide open.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's necessarily an accurate description of what you're going to see. Obviously, next week this coming week later on when you see Google put its case together.
I see. And it could be a reversal there. Yeah, I mean, when you take a look at some of the Andy Rubin emails that Oracle is presenting in their case, I mean, mm-hmm. it's exactly like you said. It really kind of paints it in this mm-hmm. in this kind of way that really makes it sound like Google knew exactly what they were doing. In 2005, he said in an email, "My proposal is that we take a license that specifically grants the right for us to open source our product. We'll pay Sun for the license and the TCK," which kind of implies that he knew that, you know, they probably needed to pay for these parts of Java. And then in 2007, he says, "We're building a platform where the entire purpose is to let people differentiate on top of it." And Oracle is highlighting this on their side of the case, basically saying this goes counter to the requirements of PhoneME, which is Java Mobile Edition. And that's the platform that Android is built on, which, I mean, if you take a look at Android, that's exactly what it is. Everybody's building, you know, and differentiating on top of it. So it's like they knew on one hand that potentially the way that they were developing Android kind of went counter to, you know, possibly the requirements of Java.
Big thing there is, I mean, there's actually an email from Rubin that came in today, and I think it was, I don't know if it was talked about, but it will be tomorrow, was basically he said he knew it was copyrighted. Mm-hmm. Not that he believed it was copyrightable, rightfully copyrightable, that he thought it was okay to copyright APIs, but that he knew it was copyright, that they had filed copyright protection on it.
And so, is that kind of like quintessentially the point of this case, which is not necessarily that it was copyrighted, but that in a bigger picture, can it be copyrightable?
Yeah, that's a huge, that's kind of the cloud that's over this whole phase. And the judge decided to put that decision off. That's a matter of law for the judge to decide. Mm-hmm. And he's decided to wait till the entire case is presented to the jury, let the jury deliberate, being instructed that it is copyrightable, and see what they come back with. And so the idea is there, if they come back with a verdict of non-infringement, then he doesn't ever have to decide the issue of whether or not APIs are copyrightable, because the copyright case goes away. Then if they do come back and say it's copyrighted, I mean, it's infringed, then he has to decide, okay, that's fine. Now I have to decide whether or not it's rightfully copyrightable.
I see.
So, and they've briefed it. They briefed it before the trial. They briefed it yesterday again, or they provided supplemental briefs and explanations. So they're both trying to couch the argument. Google wants to look at it as a dictionary. It's like having a dictionary with words. You can't copyright that, or an alphabet or something like that. There's no creative aspect to it, which is a fundamental requirement of copywriting something. Whereas Oracle says it requires more creativity and original work than just, you know, pre-existing letters and pre-existing variables and things like that that you might have in the code.
How important would you say Andy Rubin's testimony is in the big picture? I mean, he's a big player in all this. And actually, when you go through kind of a lot of the stuff that Oracle is presenting, his name is attached to most of this stuff, be it emails that he wrote or was CC'd on. So you know that he was at least kept in the loop along the way. Does his testimony in this case carry more weight than anybody else at this point?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of things that go into the trial. One is the theatrics, which you get with someone like Ellison. Or maybe even Schmidt, Eric Schmidt. But what you really get with Rubin, and the reason we've been kind of looking forward to this day, and it didn't really happen, it's going to happen tomorrow,
right,
is the idea that he's really kind of part of, even the layered details, he's going to have a lot of knowledge at. Mm-hmm. And the big picture is really about him too, because you can see it from the beginning all the way till now. So he's critical. I mean, and like I said, I think other than Eric Schmidt, he's the last guy up. So, I mean, they kind of want to go out with a bang. I think Oracle does, and I mean, they're not. I don't think he's a smart guy. They're not going to get him to, you know, surrender. Mm-hmm. But,
courtroom drama.
Yeah, we want to see this drama.
But he's got enough stuff that if they phrase their questions correctly, they can get a lot of yeses to questions that sound damning.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the goal. But like I said, Oracle, I mean, Google's side of it is, you know, when you start to see that unfold this week, you'll see some of the common sense defenses they have, which one is 37 APIs out of, what, 500?
Mm-hmm.
It's several lines of code in each. It's not copyrightable, although they won't argue that to the jury because that's not for the jury to decide. And there's a fair use element in there, whether or not if I have a right to use Java, why don't I have a right to use the APIs?
Yeah, especially considering Java might be somewhat useless if not for those APIs in some ways.
So those things are all what you're going to hear this week come out, and it'll start to balance out. It always happens this way. It happens to me all the time when I read a brief from one side. I'll say, wow, that's really convincing. Then I'll read the other side's brief, and I'll say, well, that's really convincing. So the two sides of the story, I mean, this thing's gone to trial for a reason. And if it was a clear winner, and you got to remember also that Oracle, I keep saying that, Google has already indicated at trial that they've taken this infringing code out of ICS.
Mm-hmm.
So they're ideally, assuming that's correct, they're looking more at a damages case than they are an injunction.
Right.
Because you're looking at a product going forward that doesn't infringe anymore, again, if it really is out of there, the code, then you're talking about past damages, which obviously Google can afford. And you're talking – you can't shut them down, and you won't be able to shut down them with an injunction. And really, that was the most problematic part of the whole case, patent or copyright, for Google, was whether or not they were going to have to face an injunction in the end.
Right. Well, that, I mean, answers my next question about consequences. I guess that's probably a good thing. Google could certainly, I have to imagine, well, yes, okay, Google could shoulder those damages if need be.
What is it? It's not cheap. But it's less than $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For Google, it's cheap in the grand scheme of things, and especially in the grand scheme of just what kind of a behemoth they have behind
still,
Android in particular.
But still, I would settle too. So.
Yeah, they've been wanting to settle, but to settle at the right price. I mean, like, what? I mean, what? By, and Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but the risk that they, not the risk, but the chance they take by going to court is that they, you know, it could be found in their favor and they don't have to pay as much,
right.
you know, or maybe even at all. What are the likelihood that the money will change hands at the end of this case? Probably pretty likely.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also a chance it could settle before the. I mean, you can get all the way through jury deliberations and settle.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, it happens all the time. So, I don't know. I think my gut is that Google would have settled a long time ago. Oracle's sticking to their guns right here. So. We'll see in the end, but it's going to be really curious because Oracle's going to have a different opinion about whether or not the new ICS operating system doesn't incorporate that infringing code. Something tells me they might disagree, but so far it's just been kind of a statement I've heard.
Coming from Google that is the case.
Eliminated that infringing code if it's actually infringing.
Right.
You know, it's kind of an alternative argument. Well, even if you do think it's infringing, we don't have it anymore in the most recent versions. Now, obviously, there's a lot of versions out there that don't. There are a lot of phones out there that don't have ICS. Mm-hmm. But you can't really do anything about that except for pay for past damages. You know, you kind of pay for that and then you're okay.
Yeah, it would be very difficult, I would imagine, for Google to then have to ask for all those phones back or send out an update to all those phones.
That's why they have money damages, to kind of make Oracle whole if they need to.
Right. Well, that's great. Do you guys have any other questions? Or
this is crazy.
It's a
legal drama.
Thankfully, it sounds like there's a lot more to follow this week in particular coming from the Oracle side. And then next week kind of turns the tide and goes over the Google side. Undoubtedly, I won't be here next week and the next couple of weeks. But
I know, yeah.
this time next week, they'll probably, if they haven't deliberated and decided already, they should be in the middle of it because Google's case starts probably Wednesday, their defense of copyright. And each side's only got 17 hours total, counting their witnesses and defending or cross-examining the other side's witnesses. And I know Oracle's already two-thirds of the way through their time.
Right.
So it's going really fast. It's very unusual for this.
I was about to ask how unusual that was for this case to be so sped up.
I feel like similar cases would take forever.
Was there some sort of expedited.
Judge Alsop? He's a stickler.
Good.
He wants his courtroom to run. He wants it run efficiently.
I love people like that. Efficient.
Yes. No, it's good because he knows that this would just kill a jury over 6 months or 6 weeks.
Oh, that poor jury. Yeah. Can you imagine?
I know.
If you don't know anything about technology and you're being asked to serve on this case, and there's so much vocabulary to learn.
The crazy thing is you could know a lot about technology and still be completely dumbfounded by this case because of the level of detail in what open source is and what an SDK is. And
I thought I did until I started really getting into the nuances. And
absolutely.
Brian Bishop's in the courtroom every day for us. He has been all last week and then this week. And he keeps a close eye on the jury. And he can tell when there's certain witnesses that are getting through and the rest of them, they just kind of zone off.
Blaze.
Yeah.
They have no idea what's going on. They look very almost annoyed that they're being forced to listen to this.
would be too. And I'm, obviously more invested than some of those jurors.
I'd
probably
see it
are.
As a free education and something
really?
Pretty
Do you
detailed.
Think you'd be, I don't even know if I can soak all of it in.
Yeah, I don't think the general public would share that.
No, absolutely not.
It's more
Nila and I, we said, we'd be excited. And Brian's enjoying himself, too, because there's a lot of kind of gamesmanship going back between the lawyers and the judge. It's fun to watch at times.
Yeah.
But, he's Nila and I think we would – I would love to be in there actually for at least for a while. I wouldn't want to be in there like 2 or 3 weeks, but
I would love to be in there tomorrow for Eric Schmidt because has a great way of saying things that you want to.
Well, and Andy Rubin's got to go back too, right? So you've got two people that would be very interesting to hear.
They're ending with him for a reason because they probably think they can get him to say something crazy.
I would imagine he might, if past history says anything.
The lawyer's probably ringing his,
exactly.
I'm ready for Eric tomorrow. I'm ready.
Well, Matt, you guys do a great job of covering this, you and Brian Bishop at The Verge. So thank you for all of your coverage. And thank you even more for just coming on the show and helping us to understand this very complex case. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll come back on and we'll figure out the patent side next time, right?
All right.
It's it's even more boring.
Well, I was going to say it was cut down from 7 to 2 patents. And they are not that
important. They're pretty insignificant, I think.
Yeah. All right. Cool. And that insignificant, we'll definitely bring you back. Any reason to actually get you back on, to be honest. But but Matt, thank you again. Is there anything else that you want to plug since we have you?
No, just we're going to have some good coverage tomorrow, I think, on The Verge for those two witnesses. So just check it out, and we'll try to look through it all. There's going to be a lot of it's not going to be too boring tomorrow. I think it's going to be a lot more interesting, like I said, theatrics.
Yeah.
Good to know. All right.
Well, check that out. You can follow that on The Verge. And thanks again, Matt. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Good luck. All right. See you.
Bye, Matt.
All right. Hey,
before we move forward, those of you watching video are probably wondering, we didn't make any indication about this big box here, but Captain Temerity came back and brought us cupcakes.
It's amazing.
And
again.
And more.
Yes. And we are going to torture ourselves.
Yes.
They're going to mock us throughout the entire episode.
And then look at these cupcakes.
Will be if this show is shorter than normal, it's because of the cupcakes. So sorry,
I feel like after all that legal discussion, a cupcake is really the only way that you can come down from the legalese.
How about this? You guys go ahead and serve yourself up a cupcake. I'm going to read our first sponsor.
Right. Hold that. I'd rather
hold that. It's better if you wait.
How about Chad's back there?
Yeah, exactly.
He wants one too. So we'll hold back.
Well, just real quick, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature. That's including fiction, nonfiction, periodicals. For listeners of our show, All About Android, Audible is actually offering you a free audiobook to give it a chance to try out their service. So you can go to the Audible site. I know that The Hunger Games is a big deal right now. To be completely honest, The Hunger Games was something I had never heard of. Well, rarely heard of, and then suddenly it seemed like everybody was talking about it, and there's a movie, and it's doing fantastic.
It's doing insane.
The audiobook is on Audible, and you can.
It's good.
Yeah, and I've heard that the book is better than the movie.
Well, it usually is.
Yeah,
any questions about movies being able with strong female leads? Hunger Games is
Hunger
blown
Games
away.
Is
yeah,
totally. Definitely. Yeah. Really? For, absolutely. Yeah. It is fantastic trilogy, and a book that I did not want to end at the very end.
Oh, really?
I actually kind of put it, I was like, okay, one chapter at a time as I was getting closer to the end, because
you
I
wanted
didn't
to stretch
want
it out.
It to
didn't
end.
Want the dream to die. Yeah, so, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Well, with an audiobook, you know exactly how much time you have left. And that's either a good or a bad thing when it comes to a book that you really don't want to end.
Yep.
Because you're like, oh, 30 minutes? That's all I have left? anyways, you can check out The Hunger Games or tons of other books. I'm a big fan of just bios and autobiographies. And there are a ton of them on there. Music bios and film bios and all that. I'm a nut for those. Just go and check it out. Scan through the catalog and see what you find. And you can download that audiobook for free. Or any of your choices, really up to you. Go to audiblepodcast.com/android. That's audiblepodcast.com/android. And thank you, Audible, for continuing to support All About Android. We love you. We do.
And don't forget the Android app. You will have all your library on your app. Even if you don't have it loaded on your phone, like I've already read Bossy Pants. Yeah, that's over. But I have many, everything that I can read it again.
Is it reading? Listening?
Yes.
You say you read a book after you listen to it?
That's a tricky question. Yeah. I think people sit on one side or another. I have gone back and forth. I think I've finally settled on, yes, I read it.
It is.
Okay.
It's the same experience. It's the same content. It's a different way of consuming it, but in the end, you have the same knowledge of the story, right?
It's like getting read a bedtime story,
as
a kid, or if you read to
your
kids.
I read Goodnight Moon.
Yeah, there you go.
Sometimes I just read it to myself to put myself to sleep.
Sometimes I read it every single night to my daughter.
There you go. See?
See, even if I don't want to.
Yes.
That's right.
There you go.
She's learning how to read.
Is it weird that I read it to myself? Is that weird? No, is that right? Is that weird that I read to myself?
That's
anything. It's okay.
It's fine. It's okay, Ron.
All right.
It's okay.
Record yourself doing it next time, and then you can sell it as an audio book.
Well,
no, you
might
probably
be onto
couldn't,
something.
Actually.
There you go. Wait a minute. Copyright.
Unless it's your own book. Write a book and then read it to yourself, and then you've got something. All right. Let's jump into hardware. And we got some stuff to talk about.
Not only do we got some stuff, we got some rumors to talk about. In fact, it is a Samsung Galaxy S3 rumor palooza. So we're going to come at you hard and fast with the... sorry about that. We're going to come at you with some rumors. First off, CNET's got some video of a teaser video that Samsung launched that takes a little subtle shot at Apple. Surprise, surprise. Let's watch it and see what everyone thinks. For those listening, it's a very...
Don't full screen, yeah. I don't want to risk it.
So...
truly smart technology becomes a natural part of life. They're doing a little Aurora Borealis action here.
Yes. Yeah. It looks like Earth.
This teaser, I didn't know what it was, and Sarah Lane was previewing it before TNT at her desk, and I was like, somebody's playing an action movie with the music, and then I realized it was this teaser
now
video.
We're in Star the Trek-y, universe.
The galaxy.
The galaxy.
Your view of the world grows even wider.
It's setting the scene. It's a long ad. It's a minute long.
Yeah. It's a teaser.
And again, visuals are all the galaxy.
As you gain
stars.
The power to explore it freely and swiftly. Action
it's very
verbs.
Epic music.
Yeah.
The technology that fits in this easily. You can now stand out from
sheep.
Everyone else.
There's a bunch of sheep. dot dot dot.
And
everyone
those are,
else.
That's one sheep, by the way.
And then there's that blotch of like blue purple,
and white.
Blue and white paint.
Yeah, it's like a blue and white.
And then it just says
drops.
Samsung Mobile Unpacked 2012, and we know that there's going to be a big announcement.
Wow, good catch on the blop. There you go. That's pretty cool.
And then there's going to be that's on the invitation. Actually.
Right? Yeah.
The
but where he paused it. He paused it.
And so yes, May 3rd, there's a big Samsung event like we talked about last week in London.
So who knows what the blobs mean?
I know.
I think the phone is going to be in a couple of colors.
I do.
Yeah, color choices. It, yeah. That's my guess.
Like that.
Yeah, which would be a little bit of a change. but the rumors continue. That's not just it. Over on The Verge, they were talking about the fact that the Galaxy S2 successor, the 3, might have a quad-core processor with superlative benchmarks. And that's what will be shown on May 3rd.
Yeah, I've also seen some rumors that say it's a marginal upgrade from the current one.
Well, it's a superlative benchmark versus a marginal upgrade. This is all just a turn of phrase, really. And then also on The Verge, they're saying that the latest alleged leak is not accurate, the name is still unconfirmed, and that it's got the tightest security ever for a Samsung event. So it looks like how much of this is hype building versus...
I honestly don't feel the same kind of buzz as I felt with the Galaxy Nexus.
Yeah.
You know, this is just kind of happening, and I don't. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah. If we weren't actively researching the show, this wouldn't even be on my radar at this point. You know.
Yeah.
So maybe it's because I have a phone. I'm super happy with my Galaxy Nexus, but
they're kind of different beasts too, though, right? Because before.
Also international.
Before the Galaxy Nexus, the S2 was a really big deal. It was a great design phone.
But
we also,
in the United States, we waited a long time for it. I mean, it was out overseas for a long time. And so that's why I think a lot of us here in the United States were like, gosh, that phone is supposed to be so good. Where is it? And we finally got it.
Did the buzz on the S2 match the buzz for the Nexus S and the Nexus S4G?
I feel like maybe a little closer, but I think the Nexus was still...
By the time the S2 was coming out, that had kind of burned off. Do you think we still have that same kind of passion around the Galaxy Nexus? And that's
I don't know if there's that much passion around the Galaxy Nexus.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of burned off a little bit. I mean, Verizon just dropped the price of theirs to $200 to match Sprint, who now actually has, a little tangent here, but Sprint now has the Galaxy Nexus for sale, $200. So the price is coming down on that. So it's no longer like that premium $300 price point, which you know, makes it even more worth it. But... I feel the same way about the S3. I think people are excited about it because it's following on the heels of a really successful, well-designed phone. I just wonder how much of an upgrade it's going to be.
Is it this cosmic shift, what they're positioning it to be?
And with this tight security,
like, are people really banging on the doors of this, you know, to get
this
more information?
This phone
better
be freaking amazing when the announcement happens. Otherwise, I mean, I think the only other phone that's causing a little bit more of a buzz at this point is the 1X that's coming out pretty soon.
Yep.
So that to me, the HTC series has been getting a lot more buzz than even this S3, but I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's just me. I'm not sure. This phone better be fantastic.
Well, it might be fantastic because it might have appeared in Vietnam.
Engadget's
got a video, which I don't know if we can roll, of some possible in the wild...
But they have it covered, so what you're seeing is not actually like the look of the device. But they purport to be showing off the actual S3.
Yep.
So you 4. Know, point, with, what are we? What are, with the tape rumors all are 4.6 or 4.7, right? Size-wise?
I was thinking it was, 4.7, but I could be wrong. I get these
I think it's just destroyed. Rumors, right? One story
is
4.6.
According to these leaks, it's saying it's got a 4.6-inch display, 720 by 1184 resolution, and with the quad-core 1.4 gigahertz processor.
Mm-hmm.
Run an ice cream sandwich. So whether or not you believe that or not, again, it's a leak.
Yeah.
Who knows what to believe these days? And furthermore, if you don't know what you want to believe, over on Pocket Lint, they're reporting that the Samsung S Cloud reported to launch with the Galaxy S3. I want to say the Galaxy 2 instead of the Galaxy S. The Galaxy S3 possibly could be SkyDrive powered,
mm-hmm.
which is
Samsung's own cloud service.
Okay. Yep.
Is that a big deal?
I mean, the rumors of the Google Drive,
right?
Yeah.
You know, with G Drive coming out there. I mean, this cloud storage thing. I mean, imagine if
it's a big deal now.
Yeah.
Cloud storage, everybody's trying to get in on the heels of it.
Yep. So if by getting a Samsung Galaxy S3, you also get, Samsung branded cloud drive storage that you could work with it.
Storage.
That's not too bad.
Which is another place for me to hoard my
digital storage.
Are we kind of getting to this point though, where like suddenly we have cloud storage everywhere?
Well, that's what we were saying a couple of weeks ago. And I was saying, just gonna be a digital hoarder. I'm just uploading raw photos.
I know, and you don't know where it goes.
Who cares? It's free.
Totally.
Thanks.
What's great is that it's all data. It's not actually physical space, so it doesn't, you just put whatever you want.
It's not my space.
Yeah, I'm just going to
virtual space.
I'm scanning everything in my house and uploading it to the cloud. That's it. I'm just going to get a storage locker.
You just want to make sure you use up all of it.
Everybody's pointing out SkyDrive is a Microsoft thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
All right. So we'll go ahead and take an email on this next one. there is no name on here.
Sorry, I'll look it up.
I listen to the show weekly and have ever since getting my first Android device. I also have the Asus Transformer. I am quickly approaching the upgrade mark for my family's T-Mobile plan. Was wondering if you know of any good devices on that network now or in the next 2 months, as I will most likely be upgrading when given the chance in June. A person whose name I don't know yet, but hopefully soon, Samsung Gravity T is his current phone. And he wants to upgrade to another phone on T-Mobile and would like something that's a little bit smarter, in air quotes, than that. Well, I might have the phone for you, actually. It just released. It's called the HTC...
It's Christopher.
1S. Christopher. Thank you, Christopher. And thanks for looking that up. The HTC 1S. I've been playing around with this. It's on the T-Mobile HSPA Plus network.
Are we allowed to talk about this now?
Oh, yeah.
Can we recant what happened last week?
I had it last Monday, but I couldn't talk about it.
But what happened before the show? I roll into the studio. Eileen's in Vegas. Jason's sitting there working at his desk, and he goes, "Oh, get a load of this," and hands me this, and I was floored by this phone. It's thin. Talk about nice design. And especially considering I had the Nexus 1 back in the day, this was like, I was like, wow, this is a... It reminded me of the Nexus 1.
It does look like the Nexus 1. Look at that screen.
It's a nice phone. It's a nice phone.
And it's 4.3. Thank you, HTC, for not making another 4. Gazillion big ass phone.
Or 4.7.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's...
Unfortunately, it's on T-Mobile, but...
It's a really good phone.
It's a nice phone.
So I recorded my review for Before You Buy. It'll be in this Friday's episode of Before You Buy, twit.tv/BOIB. Plug. And I recorded the review today, and the best way to put it, and I said it at the end of the review, is like, I didn't want this review to end because I really enjoyed using this phone.
Yeah, it's a nice.
And it's very interesting because I have been using
it.
Obviously, I have the Galaxy Nexus, which is kind of like the quintessential Samsung design, from the plasticky back to just kind of that they designed this phone is very Samsung. That's very HTC, and you know that's a noted difference when you hold them side by side in your hands. They're great for different reasons, but I've always loved HTC's build quality, and it's hard to go back to the kind of plastic feel when that just like aluminum, anodized unibody casing is just so pleasant. But super great phone. I thought it was awesome. It's $200 on contract for T-Mobile, so maybe you could check this out. And if you're still on the fence, check out the review later this week. Also making the news was the HTC One X on AT&T's network. That is $199 on a 2-year contract May 6th. I thought it was more than that.
Did I paste in the wrong one here? Is it $199 or $299? I thought it was $199. I'm going to go with that. It's on AT&T's 4G LTE network, 4.7-inch display versus the 4.3-inch on the 1S. And, you know, similar processor, 1.5 gigahertz dual-core Snapdragon S2 processor, which, oh, man, it screams on the look on the 1S. But that's a really good one. Okay, so yeah, hold that up.
Look
so
at that.
People watching the video, this is a really good example of the differences in the display between the 1S and the 1X. The 1S has Super AMOLED QHD Pentile display. And the 1X is Super LCD 2. The 1X is actually 1280 by 720 display versus 960 by 540. So the resolution is actually much better on the 1X. But as you can kind of see just from the pixels themselves, what you're seeing there and what my eyes totally cannot unsee anymore is that Pentile rigidness around icons. I cannot unsee it on the 1S, and it was really my only major complaint with it.
Video.
Go away! It's getting bigger and bigger. So that's a really good indication on the verge of exactly what you're seeing. But I would just recommend to you, pick up the phone yourself and use it for a few minutes and see if you see it, because you might not. Leo even was playing around with this, and he was like, I don't think it's as bad as it is on the Galaxy Nexus. Meanwhile, I think the opposite.
Phone,
I think the opposite completely. So anyways, two great phones released by HTC. I think it's a really good kind of new direction for them.
Yeah.
You know, they've really kind of honed their design aesthetic. Sense 4, better. Yeah. Better than old versions of Sense.
That's the one thing. I've never had an HTC phone with running Sense. I had the Nexus 1, which was an HTC phone, but that was stock Google. It was stock Android, so I never had Sense. And I loved that phone because it was the metal, and it felt like, you know, it felt substantial in my hand.
Yeah.
And then I moved over to Samsung, and I've been rolling Samsung as well as I've stayed Nexus because I won't say bloatware because whatever. Say well, but I've never had Sense, but I like that phone, and so like I like the hardware.
Ooh.
But
Are you thinking?
Well, no, I'm still, this is far too.
Okay. Too precious.
Yes. In fact, I feel bad talking about it badly this close to it. So yeah, I hope it doesn't hear me.
You know,
but, I hope it doesn't do bad things for you.
I know, yeah. This one has been great, though. The Galaxy Nexus has been a dream.
I'm sure ultimately you could root and ROM this, you know,
sure.
And if that isn't already online, I haven't checked, to be honest. Yeah. But there's no removable battery, no SD card slot on the 1S.
Interesting.
So those are a few things that'll keep people away from this.
Yeah. But I feel like the SD card slot is becoming a thing of the past somewhat.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, especially when you know, talking about cloud storage earlier, this comes with 2 years of 25 gigs of storage on Dropbox.
There you go.
On top of whatever you might already have.
I've got some raw format photos that I could get up on there.
Exactly.
I can fully fill that up.
4K video.
Throw it
in your Dropbox.
Do it.
There we go. All right. What do you have? You have some cool stuff.
You know what? I have a few cool things. So cool. The first thing that I want to show you in my Kindle Fire case is actually the new Galaxy Tab 2 7.0. Not the Galaxy Tab.
Oh, wait a minute. You threw
Plus.
Me for a loop.
I did throw you for a loop. This is actually the thing that I'm going to be talking about today. And I'm actually, I'm very positive about this, and I still will make a positive review for Before You Buy, and I'm not talking about it today, but, you know, on Sunday, Nicole Lee, our products producer, threw the Asus Transformer Pad TF300 in my lap with the keyboard dock.
Did she actually throw it in her lap?
She threw it. She's like, here, take it.
That's how strong this thing is.
You know, I teased on Twitter that I was going to use this throughout the show, but I have to say I'm sorry. Google Mobile Docs, which we use for the show, is absolutely horrific, and I cannot use it.
It was fun watching you try to use it.
It was fun watching, during our interview with Matt. I was trying to scroll up and down on using Docs, and it was just unusable. I mean, ugh, terrible. This is, I'll just make a quick comment that this is pretty darn good. And $380 for the tablet itself and then $154.
Wow, $380
makes it a really good price
That's
point
a solid
for a tablet that is just slightly, you know, in specs lower than the Prime, just slightly. And you get colors, like the blue one's going to be out, and then the red.
And it's got that cool.
It's like a ridges. Plastic ridge here instead of the metallic. Some people don't like it because they want like the metallic top, but I disagree. I think this is better, and I think the metallic surface did some bad things for GPS and for the camera.
Interesting.
On the Prime. So I'll talk about this a little bit more next week, but I just wanted to show that off because we have it here, and it's a pretty darn cool device. But really quickly, the mini review here for the Galaxy Tab 2 7.0. The cool thing about this, it's actually the first, it was the first to ship with ice cream sandwich. And also, it is $250.
Wow.
Everybody. $250. That's only Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi only device. It's 7-inch. Is a PLS display, and PLS stands for plane to line switching, which there Samsung is touting, like you could see and the view on any kind of angle here on many, you know, better angles.
Yeah.
You guys can see this. You guys.
And you're holding it up.
Trying to pretend we're on the bus. And
okay.
I'm
and you're trying to read over my shoulder. Yeah. 1024 by 600 pixels. My secret email. It's dual core and it's got 1 gig of RAM and 8 gigs of storage. But you can, you know, it's got SD card slots, so you can expand it to 32. It's pretty snappy. It's pretty handy. It's pretty light. I'm a big fan of the 7 to 8 inch tablet size. And let's see here. Oh, apparently, and I didn't know this, but Samsung provides 50 gigs of free Dropbox storage for a year on top of that with this device. Now, it does have a 3-megapixel camera on the back, which is kind of crappy, and also just a VGA camera out on front. Not many people use the cameras for their tablets, but, you know, it's there just in case you want to or if there's some apps that you want to use. Again, it's also $250. You know, at this point, I say get this over the Kindle Fire because you can put the Amazon App Store on here. You can get the Google, Google Play Store as well. And the only thing, you know, ICS on, let me show you this really quick here. Just like the Samsung 7.7, which I absolutely adored, and this is not as thin as the 7.7, but whatever, it's still pretty light. It has this little mini dock here with some of the Samsung you know,
and you can customize apps.
Customize it, yeah, and you can play like that and kind of. Of course, Samsung comes out first.
Wow, that's a loud speaker.
It's a loud speaker, but it's actually really good, right?
Yeah, that's really. I'm impressed
so
by
the
that.
The speakers are down here below.
Yeah,
I was really impressed for this device. I gotta say, for $250, even though this is really impressive, and especially even though this is really impressive for $380. If you're looking for a smaller device and if you're looking, you know, like maybe the Kindle Fire or whatever, I got to say.
Has the video on it?
The video is actually pretty decent. Let's see if I can launch. Now we're going to be dependent on Wi-Fi here, but I think I have Netflix on here. Let's see. Let me launch
you got
that.
Something against Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi tends to not work for me all the time.
Okay, really? Okay.
Sorry.
Cut away. I'm pro Wi-Fi. I generally, we've talked about this before. We were talking about how I've never had a device that's not. That's been 3G or being connected to a network type thing. But every time I'm on Wi-Fi, I prefer Wi-Fi. I figure that's the better kind of connection you can get. Mm. I get the gym and...
Yeah, no, Wi-Fi experience for me has been pretty shoddy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Netflix loaded pretty fast here. I wanted to finish this episode of Bones. Let's watch that.
Now's a good time.
Now's a great time, right? Yeah. I have to say, again... Just very, very decent tablet for $250. Yeah. Yeah. Well done, Samsung. And finally, ICS. It's just, it's, and people are like, well, what's the difference, really? You know, it's snappier. Obviously,
there's plenty of differences,
I think.
And one thing that I'm noticing, especially when you're talking about devices that have ice cream sandwich but also have the overlay, like that's one thing with Sense 4, is that there's a lot of bloat, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But ice cream sandwich has the ability to hide those apps from your tray. So you can just do that. So that's like one of quite a few ways that ice cream sandwich, even though you have an overlay, makes it considerably better. Especially and on a tablet experience, ice cream sandwich is so much better than Honeycomb.
There's a couple things that I miss on the vanilla, like Asus is close to vanilla as you can get. So the folders are actually folder looking. They're not like the circles that you get on an ICS tablet, and then you can drag. You have to add.
Yeah,
it
they like to differentiate.
Kinda, that I don't like, but that's just minor gripe. And they don't really load too much on here, Samsung preloaded stuff. And obviously, I kept it here so you guys could see what it would look like out of the box. I would not make my tablet look like that out of the box. I would change it right away, but this is what you'd see. So overall, really positive experience for $250. I say get the Galaxy Tab 2 7.0 for $250.
Email time.
Email time. So some reactions to the violence of last week's episode. Edgar writes in and says, I love All About Android, but I'm dreading to write this email. Mm-hmm. When I saw episode 56 and Nicole Lee brought the Sony smartwatch and everyone disliked it. just for the record, to step away from the email. I didn't so much dislike it. I was having fun with Nicole's dislike of, of it. But still, anyway. I don't care either way. Edgar says, I currently own the Sony LiveU watch, and before that, beta tested the Impulse smartwatch for BlackBerry and Android. What I don't think you guys understood about these devices is they are meant to be accessories, not an independent device. At work and at school, while we're looking at your phone, is constantly to be reading a text message, email, phone calls is not looked at nicely. So looking at your watch and determining if it's important enough to take out your phone to respond is a lifesaver. Another place it's helpful is at the movies, so you don't blind people to your bright screen if you're, spelled U-R, waiting for an emergency call or text. I hope I broadened your view on these watches a little bit. Android lover for life. And so we shared Edgar's response with Nicole, and her retort was, fair enough, but seems to be a limited use case. Which,
she's still not happy with that.
I mean, the thing is that device, he's right, it's an accessory. And I think we nailed it. We touched upon it in between the madness, was that it's a external screen to access your phone. Mm-hmm. It's another display, mm-hmm. and that's really all it is. And the thing is that, like, I'm excited when we get a full functioning phone in the shape of that watch, which I don't think we're that far off from. Mm-hmm. So why doesn't Sony do that? I don't know. That's my thing. But
baby steps, Ron.
Baby steps, indeed.
We'll get there.
So speaking of baby steps, let's move on to apps. So my beloved Google TV got a little bit of news. I got a little heads up to this last week. I participated in the Google TV super fan, as they're calling it, hangout, which is pretty cool to talk to some other folks here how they're using Google TV. But what was interesting and what I found out was that they were making an update to the TV and movies app, which comes default stock on a Google TV when you get it. And what that app is a way to discover TVs and movies available to watch both on television as well as available on the web via Netflix or Amazon, etc. I really like the app because it's a great way to find out where things were available. Google, for whatever reason, which is a good choice, decided to do a pretty substantial update to this to the app, which rolled out late last week. So basically, what they've done now is the kind of key hit things is that it was pretty limited in terms of what shows that the app listed. Now they've expanded it, so they've included pretty much every TV show, movie, sports game, or anything else that you'd ever want to watch you can browse within the TV and movies app. You can now rate shows. So, for example, you can, very similar to Netflix, on a 5-star rating, you can say, okay, great, Bones, I give a 4 stars. Mm-hmm. Gossip Girl, I give a 5. You know, et cetera. You know, Mythbusters, give a 5. And based off that, the TV and movies app can make recommendations to you based off your preferences. So I literally sat in front of my TV for about a half an hour just rating things. Mm. You know, and actually the UI, for those who have a Google TV and you're curious about the updated OS on Google TV using animations and things like that, this is probably the most progressive UI app that I've seen Google develop for the Google TV. It looks really nice. And Chad, if you could pull back up the second screen on that blog post, that's where you can see the recommendations. I think we lost Chad. scroll down. Yeah, so that's the recommendation screen. So what happens is that on the left, you're scrolling up and down through titles and you're rating them. And then those movie posters on the right are dynamically changing based off your ratings, like instantaneous.
Okay.
And they shuffle. Like, it was really cool. It was really, really neat. And they've also got reminders in there, so you could say, you know, you say, hey, listen, I love AMC, make sure you tell me when shows are on AMC and that sort of thing. It's really plugged more into the TV watching and experience than previously, so it just made a cool app even cooler.
Does that also catalog videos that you have stored on your local machine, or is
it
just
it's just studio based presented on via a channel or via Netflix or whatever? Yeah.
That would make for a massive app.
Yeah,
I'm sure there are apps in the market that, or yes, the Play Store that do that.
Yeah, like Plex, and there's starting to be some more and more video kind of. Here you go, you can see it actually in action. There you go, look at Chad.
I need to get a Google TV. I know I've said that before.
It's so cool. It's so cool.
It's really.
It was funny because on that hangout, there's a dude, I forget his name, but he was like, "Yeah, no, it's a great ambient device. You just leave it on the background." And I was like, "No, it's I'm in it. It's like an active device." And so it's interesting to see those two different kind of points of view.
But I think there's any possibility that a Google TV device of some sort is one of the things that I/O attendees No. Like, would that be a priority?
Wish, cool. Yeah.
That would be
Can
cool.
Can I walk out with a...
No, well, like, I'm like not going, so like I'm not walking true. Out
new,
with anything.
Like a new but, review.
But yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, I guess that would kind of show Google's further commitment yep. and dedication to Google TV if that happens. That's certainly what they did last year with the tablet. So
yeah, well, I'm loving the Google TV. This update was great. So Google TV, still rolling.
Radical.
All right. I don't know. A year ago, maybe a little less than that, I reviewed an app called Read It Later, which you guys all voted me to the top to win that week in the arena. But guess what? They changed their name.
I didn't realize that was your app. I still use that.
Yeah, I love. Well, you use it in a different way now, don't you? Because Read It Later has now become Pocket. And the URL is getpocket.com. And it's a little bit more visually appealing. It actually looks really, really awesome on a tablet.
That is pretty.
And here it is. So do I have the brightness up too much?
Chad? That's a nice tablet.
Isn't that a nice tablet? Here, I'll turn it down a little bit. So it's a little bit more visual. You can actually look at it in a list view as well. But when you save everything, if you use Read It Later, all of your bookmarkings, on Chrome or whatever, all of your extensions, they still work. It's just now it goes here and it's called Pocket. What do you guys think? I mean, honestly, it's just visual. There is a blog post from the CEO of, I guess, Pocket now. And he says, also the app is free now. Everything is free. There's no pro version or whatever. Cool. And the reason why is, well, they're building a new model for, and they haven't really announced how they're going to make any money yet. But they said the $2.99 price point for the pro version and then only... and someone using it for 4 years doesn't really translate to a lot of money. So I know we've talked in the past about, do we pay for the free app with the ads or do we pay for the $2.99, pro version? Mm-hmm. I don't know. They seem to think it's not worthwhile for them.
Well, because once, like you said, it's the kind of app that you use so regularly that they would probably stand to gain a lot more from the ads than they would for the pay.
Right. So the app is still here, and it's free, and it's a little more visually appealing, I have to say.
Cool.
I've been hearing if you use the web version, I saw like a bar on the web version says coming soon, new
Look. And you could check out the beta of that. That's how I've been using Read It Later on the web for a few months, and it looks very similar to that.
I mean, it's the continuing magazinification of content.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's you're getting to the point where your ability to absorb content by flagging it in these kind of aggregators, similar to what Flipboard's doing on the iPad and this sort of thing, and then putting it in a visually appealing way is really, for us who absorb so many blogs and so many RSS feeds, it's getting like a more fun way to interact with that content.
Yeah,
so it's cool
absolutely.
To see.
So I actually applaud the new look. I like anything
I like it a lot.
Appealing. And that's what it looks like. Well, you're showing the iPhone, but that's pretty much what it looks like
Zoom
on
in.
The
zoom
well.
In. No one will notice. Zoom in.
Oh, yeah. People will notice.
The iPad in there.
There's no way of avoiding it.
Not only are they pretty girls, but they're using iOS devices.
Well, it looks the same on Android and on the phone. So there we go. So anyways, that's the new version of
I like it a lot.
Pocket.
I like it a lot.
Cool.
And finally, this is just a real quick hit, but we keep hearing these little rumblings about Google Drive. And sure enough, there was an Android developers hangout. I think it was yesterday, and during the hangout, one of an employee of Google was showing something off on their device, and when he went to share, which I think is about 18 seconds in, it's coming up here, he clicks on share, and then if you pause it, Chad, once he puts share on,
come on, share,
pause, whoop. You see that second icon? It says drive.
Oh. Dun, dun.
Yes, it does. The plot thickens. So, okay, if you didn't already believe it before.
Yeah, it's coming.
Not that anyone had any doubt at this point. This thing's been in the coming for like
Google's
years.
Google's starting to do more of these like developer hangouts. I mean, that's what the Google TV thing I was on was. It was a hangout, and like they're starting to get more public with what they're doing. It's getting interesting. So
yeah. I'm looking forward to Drive. I mean, this ties into our discussion earlier with cloud storage, which is like, gosh, do we need another cloud storage service?
If they're smart, they get if they're smart with Google Drive, they get Gosling.
They what?
To be their spokesman.
Oh. The movie Drive.
Right.
I get it.
There you go. Then there'd be a video of pretty girls using Google devices with Drive. There you go.
Interesting.
What was the meme?
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
I got you all this cloud storage.
Well, somebody make that, please.
In the chat room, make it.
Ryan Gosling, hey girl.
With the scorpion jacket. Come on, you guys can do it.
Come on, guys, let's do it. We've got it. We've got the arena to go through.
Yeah.
All right. So one quick email. I guess I'll read. This is from Josh Anderson. He says, "Love the show. I keep up to date with your episodes from the app Dog Catcher. I'm a Verizon sales rep that is supporting the Galaxy Nexus, which is unlocked and rooted. I also went out and got the Sony Blu-ray Google TV. I need to thank Ron for replying back to my tweet about the Blu-ray player. The question is, and I'm sure you've talked about it before, but I can't remember. I'm looking for an app that notifies me to do, or tasks by location. Any help will be appreciated. Keep up the good work with the show." We figured that Locale does this, and in combination with Astrid.
Astrid.
Yeah, it's Astrid, right?
No,
so Locale, I think it's a $6.99.
That's a fascinating use case. So like if I get close to Safeway, stop and pick up milk.
Yes.
Right.
That's pretty cool. Someone should make an app that just does that together instead of
does
Locale
remember
with
the
Astrid.
Milk do that?
I don't
Somebody
know if there's any location.
Saying, remember the milk question mark.
Well, I don't think it does that.
It has location.
Maybe.
I have to imagine that there is an app that does this. This just happens to be the one that we found.
Right.
There's got to be some
others out
there.
Locale is a little, it's kind of a more elegant tasker. Like Tasker is really, you know, I don't want to say, it's hardcore. It's like you got to mess with it a little bit more. And Locale's a little more pleasant, a little more easy to use. I think it's like $6.99 in the Play Store. Haha, I said that right off the bat. And and it does a lot. And I kind of figured that would be the app that would do it. But you just pair it with Astrid, and there you go.
There you go.
So
that's a cool application.
Yeah, and if there's any anybody out there who has another solution, let us know.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, let's take a quick break and thank our other sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Netflix.
Oh, I'm going to finish watching Bones while you do this.
Okay, you do that. Netflix streams thousands of TV episodes, including Bones, and movies directly to you instantly, saving you time, money, and hassle. There are a bazillion, ways to watch instant streaming. You can watch it on your Mac, your PC, your iOS devices, if you happen to have one of those. You can watch it on your Android device. Hey, what do you know? You can get it on your tablet or your phone. Netflix is also found on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Nintendo Wii. Just tons of different ways that you can watch their content. You can watch all these things stream to you instantly, so you can start a movie or a show on one device, then you can transfer it to the other. The uptick time for when you start it is super fast, and based on your connection speed, improves your quality that you're seeing.
The Google TV app is fantastic. I was watching Dance Academy last night on it.
There you go.
Google
TV for the win.
Yep.
And being able to watch it on one device and then move on to the other one is just really cool. That's amazing.
I mean, I'll start watching an episode of Ultron at the gym, and I won't finish it, and I'll go home, and I pull it up on Google TV, and it knows where I left off. Like, it's perfect. It's great. Yeah.
It's cool. Whichever way you choose to access Netflix, you can watch as many movies, TV shows as you want, anytime you want. And you can cancel at any time. So why don't you do yourself a favor if you haven't already? Try Netflix for 30 days for free. Go to netflix.com/twit. Be sure to use that URL when you sign up for your free trial. It's netflix.com/twit. We thank you, Netflix, for your support of Twit and All About Android. And we hope that you, yes, you, enjoy watching instantly with Netflix. So go do that. And but don't do that yet, because we have to battle in the arena.
To enter, one lives. The Android Arena.
So how long have we been doing the show? Like
what?
A year? We've been doing the show a year plus.
And change.
Took me a year to learn, to figure it out.
What? For the games?
I figured it out.
Games don't always win, though.
Yeah, they don't.
Well, they don't.
I'm just telling you right now.
I think people like to run.
Is that what you think it is?
Running games.
I think our crew, our audience, likes running.
Yeah.
So every week you should do a running game.
Well, I'm testing
and
a theory this week.
One week, review The Running Man, the movie.
Right, that's on Netflix.
On Netflix.
And I listen to the audiobook of the book the movie's based on Audible.
So there
you go.
Yeah, see? Look at that.
See what I did.
Then Ron will be full of wind. So if you haven't guessed by now,
Ron
has
full
won.
Of wind. Although Tech Ace in the chat room just noted that I win, but I'm still losing. Which he says, Ronaxo wins.
And you didn't run away
losing.
With it. I had a lot of bling. Hey, there was a lot of bling
board was
support.
A very cool app, by the way. Very cool app. So
I was thinking bling board was going to win. Early returns showed bling board in the lead.
Oh, really?
I
always thought Cannibalt.
So Cannibalt won with 143 votes. Bling board had 113. And Cloud Music Sniper, while good, but very specific.
You know,
his
a lot of people love Google Music
46.
As an app.
Yeah, so do I.
Or play music.
So the current standings are, as TechAce just informed us, I am currently in last with 4 wins, and you guys are tied for first with 5 wins each.
See, so this is going to be kind of crummy for me because I'm out of town for 3 weeks.
Sucks for you, Jason.
So you guys are just going to rack up the points. No, you know what? I hope the guest wins every single week.
We need to figure out some sort of percentage or something like that, like to balance it out.
Somebody
who knows math, come up with some sort of adjuster or some sort of index.
It's payback for me lying on a beach. Okay,
don't remind me of that fact.
Send him photos. He gets mad at.
Oh, I guess so. Oh yeah,
he gets so mad. Will you stop tweeting your
idea.
Photos?
Eileen and Tom on vacation is an endless array of photos of feet and pools and beaches and food and drinks, and it's just like, oh, what's going on? Oh, their life is better than mine.
Well, we decided to take 1 week to make it better
it was
than
great,
yours.
Which is, as you just
it
both deserve.
Doesn't last
oh,
that long.
In the chat room. I'll go
no
ahead.
No way.
All right, what? So this is a little diversion,
okay,
but
sorry.
Let me see
little
here.
To
where
Ron's win here.
I'm going to go ahead in the chat room right next to the poll.
Come
I'm
going to
paste
you
in
look at this
an image URL. It's Chad, next to this week's Face
you.
Off.
Thank you,
and
whoever did
the
this.
The site is working. It's very slow to update.
Is
there
this
we go.
News?
It's ready for you to take.
Is this breaking
Chad.
News?
It's breaking
and
news.
If you do,
no,
this is breaking news. Cyrus M in the chat room has some breaking news. Ryan Gosling.
That's
hey,
awesome.
Google Drive, call me. Hey, Google.
Drive, call me. I love it.
Right on.
There we go. Cywiz M.
Yeah, hey,
FTW. God. Thank you for that.
Call me.
So
just don't
awesome.
Don't look into his eyes. You'll get lost. Don't
so
do
much
it.
Cloud storage.
No,
so much cloud storage.
I love Google Drive.
There's too much data in the cloud. Move.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
All right. Let's arena it.
Back to the battle. Back to getting
let's
rough and tumble. Let's do it. All right. So my app, since I'm the loser this week, I was looking at a few different things, and one that caught my eye is called After Focus. It is a free app right now. They have a paid version coming. It's not released yet with extra support. But right now it's free. It's ad supported. The free version, so essentially what this app is it allows you to take a photo that you have stored on your phone and do kind of a rack focus effect. I don't know how best to describe this, but kind of that you see in a lot of DSLR pictures. So you see some of these examples. You see the before, everybody in this kind of picture with depth is in focus. The after is you take the person closest to the camera and he's in focus,
well,
and then
cool.
everything else spans out. This is another example. Go back for a second. This is another example of what you can do. You can take your foreground and have it in color, remove it from the background, and you can kind of set, based on how you kind of paint on the photo, you can set certain things to be like half color or no color or whatever. But, you know, there are other things that do this. Photoshop, I would imagine, is probably, you know, one really easy way to do this with really great quality. And I'm sure this app will get to, you know, some of the shortcomings of this app will kind of get there eventually. But I really like where the developer of this app has started. And I can kind of give you a walkthrough as a quick example here. So this is my daughter. She's at the window. I know. I figured
you're
this
totally
was
totally using the cue.
I was going to get a little ooze on that one. All right.
Wow.
But this was a really easy one to say what's foreground and what's background.
Sure,
right?
It
she's
is.
In the
yeah.
foreground.
Yeah.
Ron is mad.
No, no.
All right. So, Chad, so this is just the example that I start off with. I'm going to, I forgot to turn the touches on. Oh, well. We're going to have to deal with it. It's going to switch to landscape. Oh, you got it. All right. So, this is the app, and basically what you see there is I have drawn foreground, and then I've drawn what is the background. So I'm going to go ahead and erase this. This is kind of what you end up with. If I erase this, you end up with your picture. So I can do things like set this to focus. It turns everything on, set background to that, and you start kind of, you know, etching away at it. You've got a little undo button up here. But you can basically kind of go through and kind of paint it so that you can get rid of what's foreground and background. If you really wanted to add extra depth to it, you could use mid, and I could do that on these bushes if I hadn't already drawn those big ugly lines on it. But I'm not going to do that. If I've done this correctly, when I go forward, it'll give me my effect, and it looks a little.
That's cool.
It looks a little, you know, not so great right now because I didn't really work on the edges very well. But you can take this blur and really ramp it up so that you can get that separation. I can drop it down and it goes away. If you have something that, like you've taken a picture of someone playing soccer, like was one of the examples, you can put on this motion blur and it ends up smearing the background. So it makes it look like it's moving and the person that you have as your subject.
Jason,
not.
I, you know, I love photography apps.
Yeah,
I'm literally installing it as
I've had a lot of fun playing around with this. I open it and then I spend 20 minutes like working on a picture. Even though you could totally open up Photoshop and do this in like 10 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't use Photoshop on the bus.
I'm one of those, you suck at Photoshop. So this is easier.
So there's a fading background, and this might be a little harder to see. You don't see anything right now because I don't have the blur on. But basically what it does is it mimics the fact. So basically, the closer you are to the bottom of the screen, the more in focus it is. The further you are from the bottom of the screen or closer to the top, the more out of focus it is. So what it does is it kind of virtualizes the depth of field. Cool. It says that anything closer to the screen is probably closer to your subject, therefore is in more focus, more in focus than further away. There's a couple of other filters in here. One thing that I like is the color mask. And again, these edges aren't great because I didn't spend a lot of time drawing on this. But that's how you basically have color in the foreground, nothing in the background. If I had set that mid-tone on some of these things, those elements would be half color. And then your typical other, you know, like cross-processing, vintage, whatever. And then there's a couple of other filters in here, vignette, bokeh, which does this. It's hard to really explain exactly what this looks like, but things tend to have a little bit more, I don't know, contrast to them, a little kind of a blurred contrast to them.
Well, they have those little like fainted circles, those little dots.
Yeah.
It seems to be bokeh.
Yeah.
Too.
Really good on cityscapes, I think, is one example that they give. If you have a cityscape in full focus and then you do this, then it's going to make it kind of glisten and look all crystally and stuff. Sticker, which is like an outline, which I probably would never use. And sharpen, which I don't like to digitally sharpen things like this. Aperture is one of those things that anytime I ever select it, I never actually see a difference. Maybe I'm using it wrong. Maybe it's just a feature that hasn't been built into this yet, but it's in here as a placeholder. But I'll just go back real quick and show you. This isn't the only way that you can paint it. You can actually switch modes up here, and you can do it manually. So I will go ahead and erase this, and then I can kind of go in and select my brush, focus, and I can paint it more like what you might see if you were using Photoshop, and you can kind of go through and paint it up. Overall, you know, it's just kind of a fun app to kind of get lost in. I had a lot of fun playing around with it. Looks horrible because I didn't even finish it. I think in the paid version that's coming soon, this little take two photos option will be open down at the bottom. And that essentially means what you can do is you can take a picture of something and then shift slightly and then take another picture of the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it will smartly compare the two photos and be able to tell you what's close and what's far and be able to kind of give you that effect based on the differences between the two and also the similarities. If I understand it, that's what it's going to be.
Does it do HDR?
It doesn't do HDR. Oh. Not right out of the gate. Maybe they'll add that eventually. Hmm. It really feels like they put out the free version to kind of get you starting to play with it. And
then they're going
to
ramp it up and add more stuff.
But kind of the UI and the experience of playing around with it is just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to kind of get lost in. You are limited to an 800 pixel image on the free version, 1600 pixel limit on the paid version. I hope that kind of opens up to more than that. But again, this is just to kind of play around with it, and you're out nothing. It's completely free. So
cool.
It's called After Focus. Check it out in Google Play.
Cool.
Yep, that's it.
Awesome. Gonna download. Okay, I guess it's my turn. Mine is a very simple app. Won't take me long to discuss. But every once in a while, there's tons of note applications out there. Evernote, for one. SpringPad, Catch. We've talked about a lot of them. A lot of them have a lot more, features than I really need. And maybe sometimes I just want to jot a few notes down super quick. Just want the text. That's it. I found an app called Fetch Notes, and it's free in the Google Play Store. And first of all, it has a cute little doggy as its mascot. Fetch Notes, haha. But it's also cross-platform. So, you know, if you have an Android device and an iOS device, or if you have an Android device and your friend has an iOS device, you can see some of these notes. Basically, it's super simple. Let me show you what it looks like here. I'll show you on the tablet versus on the phone. You can't really see that. Can you see this? Maybe you can get super closer on here. Yeah. So essentially, I've just written a few notes and I put a hashtag with it. And then when I go up and I pull up here, and I see all the different hashtags. And then what I can do here, let me look at my Twit hashtag. Uh-oh, I need to find a security now, TD. Chad, can you do that?
Yeah.
Thanks. All right, cool. And then I just made a few notes. But the way you do your notes, and it's kind of like trying to borrow from ICS a UI. So you go to the left, you swipe to the left, and then you type a note. Eat cupcakes. And then I'm just going to do pound.
Hashtag Ron.
Hashtag Ron. There we go. Hashtag Ron. And then when I'm done with that, I swipe back to the right. Eat cupcakes. There's a hashtag Ron. And there it is. Ron, a hashtag. If I wanted to see all the hashtags with Ron and Twit, nope, there's none. I would have had to tag.
Right. So you can do multiple hashtags?
You can do multiple hashtags on here. And there's also a web component. So you can go to fetchnotes.com and you can add your notes there. And then it'll be sunk up to your phone or your tablet at the same time. There's also some other, you can actually text and voice your notes as well. You'll be given a number and you could do that, and pretty soon they'll add email as well. It's a super, super simple app.
Is that so it's just literally putting in
the text information. Yeah. So I was, you know, we have a condo that we're going to be renting out, and the guy I was meeting with, a property manager, he was telling me all this stuff, and I was like, oh my God, I just need super, like a really quick notepad kind of thing and something to keep all my notes. And I don't need much more than just the text. So that's what I was doing. Okay. So I've got a loud fan. I've got a smoke alarm that I need to move to the front room. I need to get a carbon monoxide alarm. Actually, I've done that already. Anyways, that's Fetch Notes. It's really simple and easy to use, and I really like it. If you need a note, quick note-taking app, there you go.
Cool. Fetch Notes. Ron.
All right. So I am testing a theory. And based off the success of Cannonball last week and winning, I'm like, hey, I'll try another game. But it also ties into the fact that I've been diving in head first into games.
And what's up with that?
Well, with the new phone.
You kept messing with me. Oh,
I know.
You and your
well, like
games.
I said, I've learned. I've watched. Now the student has become the master. No. This is truly. This just happens to be the fact that I got a new phone. I'm playing with it, and I've been bored on BART and on the bus, and so I'm like, oh, let me see what I can find. Uh-huh. And so after I got Cannonball, I'm like, oh, let me see what games are out there. And I got to admit that the games are starting to mature. They really are. Maybe I'm late. I know I'm late to the game. Excuse the pun.
So late.
But so I was, and this totally was. I stumbled upon this game not through any recommendation or anything that it was. I downloaded another game. I downloaded a game called Panic Flight. Have you seen that one? Where you're flying a plane and you got to, like...
You know, the word panic doesn't really work for me. Yeah.
And plus flight. So, yeah.
But panic and flight, that's what I usually am normally.
What was interesting is that when you loaded that game, it had a load screen that showed a bunch of other games.
Oh.
And there was one on there. I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. And I tapped on it. And it is called Babel Rising. And basically what it is it's the idea of... There we go. Portrait. So in this game, you are God. And the it's loading. That's why it's black. You can go back to me and I'll talk. There you go. So the people of Babel are trying to build a tower, and you have 7 different methods to smite them. And the idea is to not let them build a tower.
Oh my God.
And I gotta admit, I haven't had this much fun playing a game in a long time. So
since
here you go.
Last week.
I gotta pull
since
last week.
Last week's
running. So I'm just gonna tap play here and I'm just gonna do classic. And so basically what happens is that the villagers are building the tower, and then around in the upper part of the thing, there's a bunch of little buttons, and they recharge. So you see this one here on the left allows me to just smite one person. So I'm going to tap this one on the left, and then he's going to die.
I love how it's smiting.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to smite you.
Oh, no. So I'm sorry. So the tapping, I just tap on people, and then they die, right? And then up here, I got the lightning bolt. So, and it uses different gestures. So you don't need to tap any of these. So for lightning bolt, I just swipe down vertically and a bolt of lightning happens. It hasn't recharged, so I have to do that. Additionally, if you swipe horizontally, the wind blows and it knocks people over. If you do a two-finger swipe horizontally, you can do, and it's kind of hard, you do a tsunami. And is actually, wow, I don't have
a lot of bang
audio
for your buck.
I forgot we don't have the audio cable, do we? The audio is actually pretty good. But in addition to the tsunami, there's also you do a two-finger swipe down, and it rains fire. Right?
Do you not feel bad for these people?
Not at all. I am God. I smite thee. And so what happens is that now what I found is that you will never keep them from making the tower. They will eventually, it's kind of like Lemmings, if you remember that old game.
Oh, yeah.
They will eventually overpower you, and it gets really hard to keep up. So what you need to do is you need to figure out, okay, well, the finger tapping, that recharges really quickly. And so you could do that really quickly as you're watching, like, the tsunami build up and the firestorm build up and the wind blowing one. So here, I'll do that one. That's about two-thirds of the way through. So I'll go like that, and it'll wipe a bunch of people off. This eye in the sky, this is the mega one, that when that eye goes really wide and goes to blink, you tap it, and it wipes out a level of the tower and just destroys everything. What's also cool here in the bottom right, you see this is an earthquake. So if you shake the phone, and this is, it's not charged up, so I can't do it. But if you shake the phone, the whole thing earthquakes and everybody dies. So
how everybody dies is at the end.
Yeah, and so the idea is that
I'm going to eat my cupcakes and everybody dies.
Exactly. Yeah. So as I'm sitting on the bus, I can basically kill people, and it's a lot of fun because I am God and I'm benevolent.
It's a lot of fun to kill people.
Exactly. And what happens is, so they slowly build a tower up higher and higher.
Oh, yeah. They're getting that.
Yeah, exactly. But
they're getting that built. Well, they're faster.
Yeah, it's hard. See?
Took some steroids.
There you go. We can do a little firestorm. There we go. See? And so the idea is to try to keep them from building the tower as high as you can for as long as you can. And the more people you kill, the more points you get. And the idea is to get a higher score. So Babel Rising, it's a big download. It's like 27 meg. It's one of those ones where they recommend you do it over Wi-Fi. But I did it over my new phone, and it was fine. It downloaded in a couple of minutes, and it's a ton of fun.
That looks like a lot.
There you go. So Babel Rising.
So much fun.
Yeah, it is $1.99, though, so it's going to cost you money.
I'm going to have to download that for my flights.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah, seriously. Oh. And, like, the sound effects, I know we didn't have the audio here because I forgot that they're a good sound, but, like, when they die, they go, and and when you do the wind blowing, they go, like, oh, you know, yeah. So it's pretty cool. It was a surprisingly large amount of fun.
But, right.
And I'm almost at the point of an earthquake, so.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, so you can vote on your favorite app from this week's episode. Is it After Focus? Is it Fetch Notes? Or is it Babel Rising?
You need to smite?
Are you in the mood for some smiting? Yep. For some smitage? Go to bit.ly/AAA57poll. bit.ly/AAA57poll. And let us know what you think was the best app this week. And we will tell you the results on next week's show. Well, you guys will. I won't.
I'm
going to be relaxing.
Dude, you might win, too. And look at that.
I don't know. So we'll see.
I'm being patient.
Chad, I'm almost at an earthquake. Wait, here. Cut back to me.
Oh, no.
You ready?
Okay, let's do the earthquake.
Wait, cut to the phone.
The phone.
All right, ready?
Oh.
And it just killed everybody.
Wait, no. Are those people going to die, too?
I killed them.
Oh, okay.
I smited them.
Okay. It's too bad that you can't then, with the earthquake, like, knock the building down a couple of levels.
Well, that's the thing. That's the eyeball. The eyeball knocks a level down.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
That's really special, though.
Nice. So, yeah. Really, really special.
Yes.
Let's wrap this up, kids.
That's a lot. All right. We got to wrap it up. Okay, cupcakes. Let's get to the cupcakes. We have cupcakes staring at us. Let's smite the cupcakes here.
Smite the cupcakes.
All right, that is it for this week's episode. Thank you guys so much for joining us on the show. We really appreciate it. It's time for some plug action. Go, Ron.
Yeah, real simple. If you like me and my nonsense and smiting, just go to about.me/RonXO. You can find all links to me on Twitter and Facebook and Google+. And ifanboy.com, a daily comic book website that I help run. Check it all out. Good times. And have fun smiting.
and Eileen.
Eileen's,
we're still doing a show.
Yeah, she's we've lost her to the cupcake catalog.
I'm trying to figure out which one I want. I have a menu.
You have a menu. You have a map.
Cupcakes. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at EileenTV, or just find everywhere that I am at about.me/EileenRose.
And you can find me at Jason Howell on Twitter, or about.me/Jason Howell. And that is it. There is no more for you, and you don't even get a cupcake. I'm sorry, because we don't have enough for you. But you can come back next week for another episode of All About Android. We will see you then. In the meantime, leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email, send it along a video link to that in that email, and we'll play it on the show. That's AAA at twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. You can find show notes for this and all other episodes at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. They're totally going to eat one without me. I'm going to be the last person to get a cupcake. I know it.
That one's got bacon on it.
I saw that.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week on another episode. Later.
That smells so good.
Smells so good.
Oh, my Lord.
Dibs on chocolate.
Captain Temerity.
You rule, jeez, dude.